Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. So today is a special day. We have house healer and geomancer Nikki Koopmans on the show. She is an amazing colleague of mine who has inspires me always about working with energies in your home, working with energies on the land, working with energies within relationships with people, and how these energies, being aware of these energies and having a conscious relationship with these energies, helps to foster healing, grounding spaces that nourish people's souls. So it's a delight to have you on the show, Nikki. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I always enjoy our conversations and we have a nice mutual inspiration kind of energy going on. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Nikki. So wonderful to have you again. For audience members who don't know and who don't follow our Instagram profiles, Nikki and I have been it's a bit over a year and a half now. We've been doing twice a month Instagram lives on our show called The Energy of Houses and Properties. So we will add my team will add a link to both of, you know, to Nikki's profile and to the YouTube videos, so you can watch those. All right. So I have so many questions I want to ask you. And first, let's start with your background, Nikki. For audience members who don't know your work, can you share how you got into house healing work, geomancy, and what do you do?
I think I was in my late teens that I started to notice that I just noticed a lot more than my classmates were. And I was lucky enough to work in a restaurant as a side job. And I met someone there who was a very spiritual person. So I had somebody in my environment to talk about these energy stuff. And she advised me to do an intuitive development training course with a certain person. And I did that. I think I was 19. And it all snowballed from there, because there I learned about energies, that I was not the only one who was aware of certain energies around you. And from that point on, I followed a lot of trainings in body healing, all different kinds of things I did. And then once upon a day, I was at a dowsing training, and I was walking around with these rods. And then I really was like, oh, but this is it. This is everything that I notice around me. I got a vocabulary for it, and I learned about the word geomancy, because geomancy ties in bodies, experiences, places, the environment. So from that point on, I had really a direction to follow more training. So it's a little bit of interest, maybe natural talent, maybe training. So I was lucky enough to train from a very early age. And then, yeah, there was the day that I started my company.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Love it. And such a gift that you were able to start to train from a very early age. And what I hear also is that the dowsing work confirmed what you already felt inside you, confirmed what you felt, sensed, heard, but that it put vocabulary to those feelings. It put it almost even like a science to your intuition, right? Anchoring it. Like, wow, I have the tools to actually confirm my intuition.
It also learned me that you need to, in some way, satisfy the mind in order to be able to describe whatever you are experiencing. If you have no vocabulary, then you can just say, yeah, but you just see that, or you feel that, or you taste that, but you don't know how and why and how these mechanisms inside your body are functioning. So it's a whole and it still is discovery of experiencing and learning about how your own body is basically an antenna for feeling all different kinds of energies around you.
Incredible. And with your work, with the work that you do with your clients, you're a house healer. Do you guide them through learning how to use their body as an antenna? Do you guide them through how they can feel into their spaces, into the energy of their properties?
Yes. What usually happens, because I am there, it kind of forces them to just sit and experience the space in a way they can't without me. And they probably never ever have done that, only on some kind of subconscious level of not feeling comfortable in their own house. But if you really sit down, and that does take training, and not everybody has, you know, decades of training like I did, but it forces you to just experience and try to find an expression to that feeling or sensing whatever you are experiencing. And because I'm there and I see what happens or feel what happens, I can help them put that experience into words. And then comes story. And then the story is always a clue of what is really going on at a certain place.
Amazing. I'm just having just a bit of a tech issue with my my speaker. So I think we're just going to continue with my laptop speaker. And so hopefully that is not too jarring for listeners, but we'll just continue with my laptop speaker. I hear that is a... an integral part of the way that you work to guide your clients through sensing energies as well, to the extent that, and then of course you're holding the space for that through your more advanced abilities to sense those energies. Nikki, can you share, you talk about helping people to birth their, or to create their own personal power space, or place rather, their own personal power place. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's involved and why do people need this? I mean, you know, some people could just be like, well, a house is a house and, you know, make it pretty, you know, make a new, nice new, you know, front door and paint it pretty and call it a day. What are you teaching here with supporting people to create this personal power place?
If you use your home as a mirror, and I believe everything around us is a mirror, a reflection of what we are experiencing within ourselves, it is a very easy way. And if clients come to me when they are not comfortable in their own home for whatever reason, So That's my tool. That's how I work. And if you establish relationship with your home on a very conscious level, you will be able to notice much quicker what's going on within you and steer from there in the way that you want it to be. Because usually we are so wired that we see the negative things and the negative spaces because our brain is wired to survival. So when it's everything is okay, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. But if something is wrong, then, or you desire something and you cannot get there, then is your home a very big giant friend you could use in order to steer your life in the direction you'd like it to be.
I love
on top
that.
Of that, there are spaces and places in the world that might not be so comfortable for us humans energy wise to live, but even that you can change with your attention and awareness. And if you are at such a space, there is a reason for it. It always gives you a sign of whatever needs to be developed within you. So yeah, and if you do that, if you establish that relationship with your home, you are comfortable with your home will protect you, but it will also have a ripple effect on the surroundings outside of your home. So it could even affect, you know, the whole street. If you really, you know, shine the light, it is just an amplifier of, spreading a certain energies within the environment.
I love this, Nikki. I'm going to take a pause before I reflect back here to get my other microphone. So we're just going to pause here, and then I'm going to reflect back on what you just shared here. All right, so we're back with a proper a backup microphone for me. So Nikki, I love how you talk about a home as a potential of being your big giant friend. And also, you know, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. That's an important, we gotta just be real about that, you know, that we don't need to heal everything and do over healing or over spiritual land healing work or any of that stuff. You're saying that when people are feeling that there is an issue, that there is a problem, that there's a reason why they've attracted the property, and that it could be showing them, giving them an opportunity to improve themselves, to transform. Do you want to speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it really depends on the issue and how you translate that issue. And sometimes, you know, this mind doesn't necessarily come up with a story for it, as long as you are able to connect with the energy and integrate this particular energy. And sometimes this happens, that people experience a certain energetic phenomena as a ghost. It doesn't necessarily have to be a ghost, but it could be. And a ghost, I mean some diseased person. That's what I mean with a ghost. And you read all about these stories that there has been a war and there's this dead soldier standing in the corner. It doesn't necessarily have to be a dead soldier standing in the corner. It could be, but it is translation of the people who are there, of how they experience this particular kind of energy. Hmm. The same goes of when it's great auntie, whatever, they experience this energy that makes them think about their great aunt, whatever her name was. And that's all fine, because it is a way to integrate this certain energy. Mm. And then will people, they will associate what this energy means to them. And then there will follow a lesson, but it's all the story. And whatever the story is maybe not so much important. It's just a way of our minds how to translate this certain kind of energy.
Yeah, it could, like, a could pattern be anything, or a reoccurring illness or a certain mindset, right? And as you were speaking, Nikki, I just thought about this big puzzle, right? And that each occurrence, you know, if you do experience a ghost on your property, or, you know, I don't know, a frustrating interaction with your neighbors, or, I don't know, loud sounds, or discomfort, right? Unease, lack of, if you know, bad sleep, that the environment, what I'm hearing you're saying, the environment is showing you and leading you to the right clues to piece the puzzle back together again. You use the word integrate. This is so key with a lot of land healing or spiritual work. We hear a lot about clearing away, which is important, right? To clear away, make room for the new. And this word integration is pretty profound. And can you share some examples of some, you know, some success stories of aha moments for your clients where they had that integration healing, you know, which is a healing process. Yeah.
It all starts with taking responsibility for your own energies and that of your space. That's the basic start. And I once had a client, I think you've heard the story before, but I'll tell it again. She was doing a project, a building project, and she had really problems with getting the right permits from city council. So I said, well, that's okay. I come to help, but we're going to start with your own home. Yes, but I don't have a problem in my own house. I said, I don't care. We're going to start with your own home as well. Because if there is a problem in the work phase, this energy needs to be in your own home as well. Because it is an extension of your own life. And it is, as to say, a scale further down the road. And I'd like to go to the core of this situation. So we started in our own home. And it was a nice home. There was nothing really wrong with it, apart from the fact that she totally forgot about a piece of land that was actually next to her own land, that she forgot that was hers. It was in her name, but the neighbor had her sheep on that piece of property. And she was totally, you know, not aware that it was her own piece of land. So whatever she did not take responsibility of that piece of property that was hers. So we fixed that. We recreated the whole lawn. And then the building project went smooth. So 2 weeks after, we started working on the property. And there was a lot wrong with the property as well. There were a lot of ghosts and yucky stuff there. But we could not have worked on that property as effectively before she took up ownership of her own personal power place, before she could take on the next level. So 2 weeks after, we worked on her home, we worked on the property where this project was supposed to be going on. And a couple of weeks later, I received an email that the permits were signed and everything.
Amazing.
And this project had been up in the air for over 2 years.
Wow, Nikki,
so
that's huge.
You cannot really say it is because of the energy work, but to me, it is because of the energy work.
Yeah, yeah. And this is such a perfect example, especially for the audience members who are women architects and designers who are really looking for a new way to approach project planning. You know, this is a perfect example of how energetics, being conscious of energy, working with energy, developing an awareness and a relationship with energy, and guiding your clients through that process of awareness will lead to the most practical results. You know, there's so often I have worked with clients where maybe, if especially if it's a house project, where one of the partners is more leaning towards the energy work, spiritual work, and the other one is more practical. With the track record in general, it's the male. It's general. It's the male partner who is more skeptical about the energy work. Although that's not, you know, I've experienced the opposite as well, where the male is much more interested in the energy work, but generally it's that way. And so there's the skepticism. And then there's also this, why do we need to be investing in this? Because this is all extra stuff. Let's do all the spiritual energetic work after we get the building permit, right? After the house is built. You know what? We'll set aside a certain amount of the interior work budget for beautifying and doing all the spiritual stuff, right? And I always share with my clients right from the get-go that if you don't lay the proper energetic foundations right in the beginning, you are going to run into building permit issues. You're going to run, like, these are examples of what's mm-hmm. possible. You know, you may run into a financial block. You may not be able to find the right builders. You may not be able to, really feel comfortable and grounded and fully nourished in the space that mm-hmm. that gets built. So congratulations on these success stories, Nikki. Like, this is big. And it's, you know what it is? It's like, yeah, it's efficient. Why do we want to be, I mean, the 2 years of their project being on hold must have cost them time, right? Because it took a long time, costs them energy and money as yeah. well. So what I love also about you, Nikki, is that you really bring the world of spiritual energetics down to a grounded level. We can have a really grounded conversation where the most people can understand you, right? And I think that that's what's really important for us to do moving forward, to bridge this world of spirit with matter, with practical mm-hmm. Things, with the practical world, so that we can live in a way that is much more easeful, right? And that we allow these experiences to teach us something about ourselves. That's, I mm-hmm. think, one of the key pieces.
Yeah, and if you are an architect, you have to also be aware of your own space, but also about the client in their home, because it might also be not the client's issue, but because you take on the responsibility of this project, it tells you anything, and if not everything, about you as a person as well, because you took on this assignment of creating this new project. So you have to be aware of your own stuff, but also of that of the client. So you have to look at it from every angle.
This is gold. This is really golden information, Nikki. And your what you said about with the architects, you have to look at your own space. It brings up a lot of memories of me working in different offices around the world before I opened up my own practice. And, you know, a lot of the spaces that architects work in are not very nourishing. there have been some really beautiful ones, creative, and you can feel that everyone is much happier in those spaces. There's sometimes there are moments where you have music playing and there's art on the wall and there's plants, right? That's beautiful. But there's been a lot of spaces where it's like, oh my God, how many times, like everybody's wearing gray, a different shade of gray, black, okay, maybe white, you know, and then the configuration of the furniture and the desks were not conducive to an enriching environment. So, but then also taking a look at ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Our expectations, yeah. Our inner world, right? Our inner temple. It's such a great teaching.
Yeah. And then again, it's not about the color of the sofa, but it is also about the color of the sofa. So if an environment is just gray, two gray environments could feel totally different.
Yeah.
So it's not
even a good example.
Really yeah. necessary to yeah. change all the decor around you. And I will always say plants will help, but it is possible to change, right. you know, a piece of brick and have it and give it a different kind of energy than just being gray and boring.
Right.
And
right.
So it is possible. So don't let that withhold you from playing with the energies in your environment, even if it's not possible for you to change yeah. your office.
And that's where what you're talking about, Nikki, I love that example, you know, where it's like, okay, it is the color of the sofa and it's not the color of the sofa at the same time. And two offices that are gray tones in color may have they may feel totally different energetically from each other. And then that really puts the need, the importance from my perspective. And I know that you share some common windows or insights into this, is that the buildings are in two different locations, even if they're in the same city, let's say. They're on a different piece of land, and that land has different energetics. The history of the building has different energetics. Is it new? Is it old? When was it built? Who built it? What direction is it facing? And not getting into like hardcore rule bound, like, oh, if it's not facing south, you know, oh, it's horrible. No, but to understand that each place has a different flavor and has a whole different bundle of energies that come with it. And I think that's really what we need to be looking at more and more as architects, designers, as house healers, right? People who are looking at the subtle dimensions of space and supporting people in creating happier, healthier environments. Yeah. yeah.
And it could, you know, if you start working with energies, it could be as practical that, you know, there might be a corner in your garden that nothing grew. And you start working with the energies and suddenly flowers are blossoming.
Yeah.
It is very much possible that you upgrade the energies so much that other beings in that surrounding will flourish.
So beautiful. Yeah.
And it is not all woo-woo and vague, and it could be really results. Farmers are doing this as well, and they have a bigger, higher quality of their crops.
Yeah.
Less illnesses in their stock. Livestock, is that the right word? Yeah.
I think livestock, exactly. Cattle, better milk, right? Better fat accumulated, better feeding. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, Nikki, that two things came up. Patrick McManaway, you've worked with him before. He's a geomancer. I interviewed him in, I think it was the first interview series we had, the Sacred Blueprint interview series. He works a lot with farmers and the agriculture. And I know you've trained with him, correct?
Yeah.
Before you've met or trained with him. That's amazing. And I remember being introduced to what he calls power towers. There's someone else in Australia who I also have, I've studied her works, Alana Moore. She was the head of the British Society of Dowsers for a while. She does permaculture and all this stuff, and she's a geomancer. Mm-hmm. But I think I first remember reading about power towers through Patrick, I think. And so these are these like, actually basically these pipes, plumbing pipes, just like a straight pipe, plastic mm-hmm. pipe, which is filled with basalt or paramagnetic rock. And placed at a power spot, at an ideal sweet spot on the property. And that acts kind of like an antenna, a connector piece between earth and sky, and helps to radiate, emanate healing life force energy that supports mm-hmm. the abundance of crops.
Yeah. Yeah. I think these pipes function as an oracle accumulator. They get energy yes. from the environment.
Yeah.
But again, if you do that with your home, you don't need gadgets like that. You can work with the energies as well. Gadgets help. They will help, because you give a bit of your awareness into a tool. Yeah. So you don't have to actively work
helps on focus
it all yeah. the time.
Yeah.
But you have to really be aware, and that's why it starts with being aware of energies, because they can destroy a lot of, when it's too forceful, they can be
destroy those intentions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Instead of being helpful, it could be overpowering. So you have to be really aware of what you're doing. So if you are attracted to these kinds of tool, make sure you find someone who knows what he or she is doing and teaches you about it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Always to, be sure that you know exactly how you're going to proceed there. And I do agree that it does provide a reminder. It helps you to hold the focus, the intention. There were these kinds of standing stones are an example of that.
Mm-hmm. Altar.
An altar is an example of that. There are all kinds of tools that were used in ancient cultures to harness the energies of the land. And also, it's not only about the harnessing, it's also about giving thanks. Giving thanks to the nature spirits, giving thanks to Mother Gaia, it was incorporated in ritual. It was incorporated into daily practice, monthly practice. And it reminds me of the fairy tales that I read to my son, where there's like they're just ones that are more related to, gnomes and fairies and all that. And, the farmers would be giving either milk, honey, butter mm-hmm. to these nature spirits, these beings, and they would support them they would guarantee a really good crop for the next year. I can't tell you how many stories I've read with that similar message. And I think it's, I think what you're doing, Nikki, is you're bringing that message back, but in a much more contemporary, much more modern way that is about more the exploration of self, right? And your relationship with your home. Does that sound resonant? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we are in different times, so we have different problems than a couple of centuries ago where we need to deal with. So why not be practical about it? And yes, we learn from these ancient traditions, and in the basic it is the same thing, but the interpretation and the times are different, but the energies are similar.
Amazing, Nikki. Wow, so many insights. You know, as we wrap up this episode, what I would love for you to share some of your advice for women architects, women designers, geomancers, people who are want to work with energies on their, you know, visionaries who want to start to bridge the world of spirit with design. I have a lot of clients and women that I speak with that are really nervous about talking about the world of spirit and energy, that they think that they're going to lose clients, lose projects. And they're scared, you know, they're scared of coming out of the, I don't know, the woo-woo closet, whatever you want to call it. What advice would you have for these women?
Talk about it in grounding way.
Yeah.
Because if you are an architect, you are speaking about I don't know the right word in English, but the charisma of a building. What is that?
Charisma is also a word in English. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't really say that about a building. You say that about a person, but
like a character or.
Yeah, you use vocabulary like that. And if you are an interior decorator, you are all about atmosphere.
Yeah.
So use that kind of word, because everybody I talk to, everybody knows that feeling when you walk into a room, especially when you're looking for a new home. You sense like this is it or this is just not it.
Yeah.
And this, whatever you call that, this, I call it atmosphere.
Right.
You can speak about that freely. You don't need to talk about elves and spirits and ghosts right from the start, but you can start with that and build from that. So if you use a specific color of brick, it will feel more warm. Or if you use steel, it will feel more cold. These are normal expressions. And you can talk about that without any shame. And then you will feel and sense from your client how far they are willing to go with that. And then maybe there is an opening of talking about the atmosphere of the garden and the nature spirits that belong to it or not.
Yeah.
And if they're not open to that, then don't just talk about atmosphere.
Yeah.
And let them experience it. Put them in that corner that doesn't feel so comfortable and let them tell you how does it feel. And then you will know which kind of words you could use and build from that.
But love it.
Don't feel ashamed about expressing your emotions and senses if it helps your design, because design is all about feeling and practical stuff as well. But looks are very much important. And whatever words you use for the looks of it, you can build from that. I don't see any issue. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. It just is this world of feeling, encouraging your clients to get involved also in the feeling of that atmosphere, putting them in that specific location of that room, of that space, and getting them to experience how it feels. You know, that is really, I mean, that's just so empowering, Nikki, you know, to also allow your client to sense the space so that you can start to read what wants to birth through them, what wants to come through them, rather than hanging on to, I'm just giving an example of how I have worked in the past, how other architects continue to work, where we are hanging on to a whole bunch of architecture ideas, and we just want to impose it onto our clients. And then we get frustrated and bitter when the project doesn't go well. I mean, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. But to go into this, what you're sharing, this act of co-creation, exploring, asking questions, investigating, how does the space feel? You just know it. You know it when this is the house you're going to buy, or when it's like, this doesn't feel good, right? and to start to develop this more grounded vocabulary, just because it's grounded also doesn't mean it's not spiritual.
Exactly. And never forget, if people experience something, it becomes real. It becomes a reality.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. Yeah.
You can talk about it for hours and hours and hours, and it will not come across. But if you put them on a certain spot, they will feel it or not feel it, which is also okay.
But that's also an experience.
That's also an experience. So don't hesitate to do that. Yeah. Please don't.
Yeah. More of this interactive work is, I think, the key to the future. And I just got shivers to that. It becomes more of a reality when they experience it. And so much magic occurs when that happens, rather than being in separate offices, separate spaces, architects working over there in the office on the property, and client is like, I wonder when those drawings are going to come, right? Like, you know, and there can be a lot of that unnecessary tension. But if you co-create and feel into and discover, right, and be curious like a child, yeah, amazing. Oh, Nikki, so many insights. And this has been such an enriching conversation. And I trust that the women who are listening, men as well, perhaps too, are receiving a lot of beautiful keys, tools, tips, and wisdom from your shares. I'm very grateful for all the work that you do, and grateful that you are helping to help build a better world through your house healing and geomancy work.
Well, thank you for having me, and keep on going.
Yes, great. So Nikki, just as the low battery sign comes up, I had a power outage today. So we're like on this like ticking clock here. Nikki, do share briefly how people can get in touch with you if they want some consultations on the energies of their home or garden or hotel, right?
Yeah, just come to me over social media, Instagram, Facebook, or over my website. My website is still in Dutch, but I understand German and English perfectly. So you can write me an email, and then we go from there.
Beautiful. So Nikki's website is happyhollon.com, correct? It's a .com?
.nl.
Oh, .nl. .nl. And we will add all of Nikki's links, Instagram, Facebook. We're going to link those all up in the description of this podcast episode, so you'll be able to easily access them. Thank you so much, Nikki, for your time, and look forward to our next Instagram Live.
Exactly. See you soon. Right. Thanks a lot, Aisha.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com. Until next time, Güle güle.